Great. Turn to number 262 and stay seated for this one. I've been sitting on that one for a month, waiting for that one. All right, turn to 262 and go ahead and stand. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you for that good singing.
All right,
134, and can it be? If you could stand again, please, for this one.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Pine he for me who caused this pain. Heal me he who with him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left His Father's throne above, so free Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in chain. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died
struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have
to the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone, died alone.
This is the Mike Goebel day, so grab your Bibles. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, I'll sit back, ready to roll. Though. We kept him quite busy here, even one thing after another there. All right, he'd get a little nap in this afternoon. All right, this time we are going to dismiss our children's ministry, sixth grade and down. There should be a classroom for you. Parents are welcome to take their kids to the classes. And if you need to use the nursery is available as well for you. All right, I appreciate all the music, those that participate in that ministry. I hope that the words of that song minister to your heart. I hope your mind was drawn maybe to John 10, where Christ said, "I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He certainly could have called 10,000, 10 million, 10 billion. He didn't need any of them, but he willingly gave his life for you and I. I trust if you're here today, whether you are a long time part of IBC or this is the first time, maybe the only time you ever be in here, I pray that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you see that that is your greatest need today. Your greatest need is the Lord Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Him. And make sure that's first. That your greatest need is not money. Your greatest need is not your health to improve. Your greatest need is not things to work out better, to get a job. No, those things are all important, but that's not your greatest need. Your greatest need is if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have a personal relationship with Him and receive Him as your Savior through the finished work on the cross. If you're here today and you're not sure about that, I hope you come see my wife and I. We'll be at the back after the service shaking hands. Let us know. We'll be glad to meet with you after the service this evening. Come by your home and answer questions you have about God, the Word of God, salvation. We understand that you may have some questions and God's Word has the answers. If you're here today without a Bible, you're more than welcome to use one of our pew Bibles. There should be one pretty close to you in the pew. You can pull it out. I don't think I need to tell you where to turn today. It's pretty simple. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 should be the first page or certainly the first page of the Bible in any Bible that you have, unless today you grabbed your New Testament Gideon, all right? Then you're in a little bit of trouble. You're going to need the pew Bible, all right? Sometimes that happens. Oh, I have the New Testament, but not the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 1. Let me encourage each person to have a Bible, to have it opened, and to read it and follow along with me so that you can see that it's not just some guy up there talking. It's God. I'm just a spokesman for God. That's all I am. I'm a preacher. I'm a proclaimer and a herald of something. Now, I consider myself a preacher of God, the Word of God, so I should be up here proclaiming and heralding the Word of God. So you make sure you're watching and listening, all right? And make sure you're underlining. You're welcome to take notes. There's a spot there in the bulletin for you. We'd be thrilled if you did that today. Simple message this morning entitled, In the Beginning. I'm beginning a series today that'll take us through Vacation Bible School, the last Sunday of June, as the Lord directs. Next week is Mother's Day, and we'll be hitting on that. So I want to start a series on the home and the family, marriage, home, and the family. We'll start today. We'll do mothers, focus more on mothers. Next Sunday, obviously Father's Day, June 18th, and we'll culminate, Lord willing, on Vacation Bible School morning as we focus on Vacation Bible School, which is what? For the entire family. Our Vacation Bible School here at IBC starts on a Sunday night, the last Sunday in June, and goes through Thursday. And it's not just for little children or your young people and you drop them off. It's for the entire family. In fact, I'll give you a little teaser here for the adults that'll be in Pastor Cremar's adult class, which meets in here once we dismiss everybody from Bible school. He will be teaching on a part of the home and the family as well. All right? I think he did something like that about 15 years ago. So you won't want to miss that. They'll certainly tie together, though neither one of us talked about that and communicated on that together. All right? The Lord did that, and I believe it'll be a good dovetail. All right? Genesis chapter 1 is where we're at this morning, and we'll see how far we get. We'll be continuing in Genesis 1 for 1, 2, and 3 over the next few weeks, Lord willing. But let's do a little bit of reading here, and please don't say, oh, Genesis, I know all this stuff, all right? We're going to be looking at two specific topics this morning, creation and marriage, and then we'll probably cut it off there, all right? Genesis chapter 1, let's let the Word of God speak as to how everything happened. Not your opinion, but God's. After all, He was the only one that was there, all right? So let's see what He has to say about things. Verse number 1, in the beginning, That's the when. God, that's the who. Created, that would be the what or the how. The heaven and the earth. Boy, isn't that a great introductory verse of the Bible? The very first inspired word of Scripture, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Wow. I mean, no introduction to God. He just takes it, there's a God, it's Him. And He created. And at some point in time past, He created everything. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 1 and 2 is your introductory, then we're going to get down into detail. Verse number 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. We're not going to read every single verse. At the end of verse 5, it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be firmament, or atmosphere, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The end of verse 8, the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so, at the end of verse 13, or actually all of verse 13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Also, time was right here. Created. The end of verse 19. In verse 19, the evening and the morning were the fourth day. By the way, these are 24-hour literal days. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly upon the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now notice there's going to be a little change here. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. Verse 26. And God said, let us, the Trinity, make man in our image. Now, none of the other creation things have been done in any way in God's image. After our likeness, and let them, man, woman, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's a pretty significant verse there. Three times the word created in that little verse. I believe God wants us to know how things happened. Created, created, created. But God's not finished yet. There's still a lot of detail here compared to the other days. Verse 28, and God blessed them, male, female, and said unto them, male, female, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Sometimes that'll throw people off there, that word replenish. You look up, that just means fill. And fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion, have authority over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You get to verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Verse 4 will be our final verse. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth which, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. By the way, when it says God rested, that word just simply means God ceased. God stopped. It is, a lot of times we'll read that there and well, God was not tired. God was not worn out. God did not have to take a break or a nap. That word just means God ceased. Same as it is finished. It's done. It's complete. It's all finished. And then he set aside that day, and that's for another message, all right, as far as it, for us there. So what are we looking at here? Number one, we're looking at creation. Let's look at today notes. Number one, creation, God's power and majesty. When we talk about God's creation here, we're talking about out of nothing. Literally, the word creation or made has the idea of creating something out of nothing. Now, I would like anybody in here to do that. Any scientist, anybody to just come to the front and make something out of nothing. Now, praise God, God has given a lot of technology. We have a lot of brilliant people, time past and even today, and can do incredible things. Praise God. With medicine and technology, advances that we have today that people never knew about. But I haven't seen anybody just out of nothing, create. That is what God did. If we were to read everything in chapter 1, you're going to see 10 times it says God said, spoke. 5 times God made. 5 times God created. Chapter 2, just the first 4 verses that we read. 4 times God made, 2 times God created. If we wanted to go to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. 3 times in 2 verses. God wants you to understand that everything that is an act of creation. God created, God spoke it into existence by his own power, by his own majesty. God created all that is. Many people don't read Genesis. Many people scoff at it. Many people believe it. It's one of the most attacked books of all time, especially the first 11 chapters. The book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. But yet you read the Bible, who named things day and night? God did, it says. God called it day and night there. It says in verse number 5, God called the light day and the darkness he called night. We still do that today. Who named the earth? God did. Says in verse number 10, God called the dry land earth. Who named the heavens? God did. It says he named it heaven. God did those things, all right? Who created time and created 24-hour days and days and months and years? God did. There's no time in heaven, folks. There's no time outside of what God created time here. Time is an earthly phenomenon, and one day there will be no more time. That's why if you have a loved one that's been in heaven 50 years, and if today you were to join them, and by the way, any one of us, this could be our last day on earth. If you're saved, you'll go meet them. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you talk to them and you say, what have you been doing for 50 years? They're going to say, I've just got here. I don't know what you're talking about. In fact, you're not even going to be saying that because you won't even think about years anymore. And I know we like to think that. I'm going to get off on a rabbit trail here, but I know people say, I feel their presence looking down. I know they're looking down on me. I think I know that, but the lost world says that. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe in any way people are looking down. And you might say, what? Well, first of all, there's no sorrow in heaven. And if they look down, they'd be pretty sorrowful, folks. If they were even watching their grandkids, they'd be pretty sorrowful. If they'd be watching the way that we live, there'd be some sorrow. And there's no sorrow in heaven. There are so many things to do up there. You're not thinking about earth. I know that might break some hearts right here. Oh, I don't know. I'm telling you, folks, I don't care if they've been there 2,000 years. They just got there. That's why that silly question, what are we going to do the whole time we're up there, is ridiculous. That's an earthly question based on earthly phenomenon, based on what we understand. And that's why we're like, what are we going to do up here? And we get our theology from It's a Wonderful Life and from movies and commercials. And there's a gate and there's Peter and it's all fluffy. And that's not heaven. We have no idea what heaven's like. It's going to blow us out of our mind. No sin, no Satan, no guilt, no fear, no death, no sickness, no sorrow, no anxiety. No, none of that stuff. We're with the Lord for eternity. We have no idea what he's got planned, folks. You're not going to be bored in any way. You're with God. It's not anything close to this. It's completely separate. God's the one that created that, and God named these things, and God made time, and God created the heaven, the sun, and the moon. All was from God, and God spoke it into existence. The first day, light, darkness, time. The second day, the firmament and the different atmospheres. The third day, the earth, the land, the trees, and the plants. By the way, pay attention to the order here. The fourth day, the sun, the moon, the stars, all those kind of things. The fifth day now, fish and fowl, the birds. The sixth day, notice the increase here in the level of what God is creating with life. Now the animals, and by the way, great variety among the birds and the fowls and the fish. Great variety among land creatures and animals, things that we love, dogs and cats and horses and things at the zoo. God made all of those, but that's not His greatest creation. The crown jewel of creation begins in verse number 26. The very final thing that God is going to create, the only thing that God creates in His image, the only thing patterned after His likeness, the only thing that God does something a little bit unique, chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He didn't just speak and say, man. He formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That wasn't done, it doesn't say, for these other things. God's crown jewel, His final one, was man, mankind. God named him Adam from the earth, Breathed into him the breath of God. That doesn't mean, that we've got divinity in us. Some people like to say that. Everybody's got a spark of divinity. No. We're sinners. We're finite. We're not God in any way, but God did make man in His image. What do you mean His image? Verse 26 says, let us, with that first picture of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. God is a three-part being. And guess what? Animals are not three-part beings. Fish and fowl are not three-part beings. Tree and botanical life are not three-part beings. I'm not trying to break anyone's hearts here. We love animals and praise God for a puppy and a dog and a horse and an animal and a bird and a cat. And they're great, and God made them, and we can do a lot of great things with them. And boy, we think of great intelligence among the animal kingdom, right? Right? You go to, wow, look, you can teach, not even teach things, but whales and things, Sea World. And you go to zoos and you think of chimpanzees and monkeys and dogs, and you're like, whoa! But they're not created in God's image. They're not three-part beings. They don't have a body, a soul, and a spirit. They don't have all that man has made, and God poured Himself, if you would, three-part being. Man is a body, a soul, a spirit, has a mind, and emotions, a will, and intellect. Oh, I know there's movies out there where the animal kingdom takes over the world, Planets of the Apes and all these kind of things. So many people have their doctrine from made-up Hollywood. But sorry, folks, animals are highly intelligent, but they haven't made anything. I mean, you can teach them and they can do all kinds of things, and I praise God for that, but they're not made like God made man. God made man unique. All those other things are temporary and mortal. There'll be a beginning and there'll be an ending, but not man. Man was created at a set time and will be immortal for eternity, heaven or hell, always, as God created them. That is important. All of Scripture points out creation. And yet today, what do we have? The great lie of evolution. No God. Everything just happened over millions and billions of years. No proof. It just one day, boom, matter produced matter. Breaking all the laws of science that people hold to. Thermodynamics. It just randomly happened in over millions and billions of years. It evolved to this, and then it became this, and then it became this, and then it became this. Until today, we're still evolving. We have mankind. Who knows what we could be one day? And yet the Bible, in one sentence, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And don't try to throw in their theistic evolution. Take a little bit of what the Bible says and a little bit of the world says. Make sure you're in the middle so you can satisfy everybody. God created, set back, and let it evolve over time. Absolutely not. In the morning and the evening were the second day. In the evening and morning were the third day. In the evening and morning were the fourth day. 24-hour days. God didn't even need 24 hours. He could have spoken all existence 1 second if He wanted to. No need for millions and billions of years. God had a plan. God designed it. And God created man. And interesting, verse 27, so God created man in His own image. Why would God repeat this so many times? In the image of God created He him. And notice, very distinctly, though we haven't got the Eve yet, male and female created He them. Now, He'd already created male and female with fish and fowls and land animals. He'd already commanded them to be fruitful and fill the earth, male, female. And he's done the same thing here for the male. Again, if you're not familiar with Scripture here, what a lot of times you'll see is God will give a general section of Scripture, and then oftentimes after that, he will come back and be more specific. Chapter 1 is a summary of creation, but you'll notice, if you were to keep reading chapter 2, he's going to come back and give more detail on how he made man and how he made woman and all those things. God will do that often in the Scriptures. He'll just give you sort of a general summary. So you pay attention to that in Scripture when God comes back and gives more specific detail on what he wants you to know about. He doesn't give any really specific detail much on the animal kingdom, but he's going to give very specific in chapter 2 on how he made man and formed and breathed and how he made the woman and how he made and designed all of that. So chapter 1 is just a very fast summary of 31 verses over the creation of the entire world. Wow. If you and I were writing, we'd make it very, very long. God just, here's what it is, here's what it is, here's what it is, here's what it happened, and everything was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Did you notice the preeminence of man when it came to creation? And think about, oh, here we are today, and again, by the way, we're only about 6,000 plus years since Genesis 1:1. I know it blows some people out of the water. Some people, if you were raised in humanism or secular whatever, whoa, no way. All right? We're only about 6,000 years. If, again, I don't know the exact thing here, but there's a lot of genealogy. You can see the times from Adam and on. 6 to 8 at the most. Probably I would hold about 6,500 years. Wow. And with all of that, did you notice a lot of things have creeped up with how things happen? Evolution, theistic evolution, millions of years taking a little bit of this. We've elevated today, again, as our society and any society that withdraws from the Bible, what happens? We elevate different things. Animals are now very more important than people half the time. People take better care of their animals, show more love and affection, and pour more money in their animals than they do human life. Human life. Which is precious in the sight of God. No, that doesn't mean we throw out animals and all those other things because you balance Scripture with Scripture. All right? In fact, Proverbs 12:10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. I had probably had that verse quoted many times as a boy, right? Throwing cats around, kicking dogs, doing stuff. Shouldn't do those things. They're just an animal. Well, you know what? The Bible does say a righteous man regardeth, that means to know, to observe, to care for the life of his beast. It's a good verse, parents, for that. All right? God did create them. They are precious. Any life is precious. Any life is precious. However, human life is by far more precious. I don't know about that one. Well, let's just see what the Bible says. Jesus said, Matthew 6:26, behold the fowls of the air, and then speaking to man, are ye not much better than they? Jesus said in Matthew 12:12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? I mean, I'm just going to take what God said. Animals are very important. God made them. They're unique. He took great delight in making the animal kingdom and the reptile kingdom and the bird and the fish and the fowl. Absolutely. But they are not on the same level as man, and we dare not bring them up to that level. In fact, what did God even show in Genesis 1:28? Look at it. God blessed them, male, female, and said unto them, male, female, the first family, be fruitful and multiply, procreation. God created sex for marriage, absolutely, it's a good thing, and fill the earth. But notice, and subdue it. Subdue it. And have dominion over the fish and the fowl and over every living thing. You know what those words mean? Dominion means to have rule, to have reign, to have authority. Subdue means to conquer, to bring into subjection. Now notice, that is what God said. I've created all of these things in my power and majesty, and I've created them for you. And I give it to you, mankind. Have dominion. Have authority. Have a rule and reign over all of it. And subdue it. And bring it into subjection. That's what God commanded that for man. Absolutely. In fact, 29, God said, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree to the which is the fruit of a tree yielding. To you it shall be for meat. God said, I made all of this and created all of this. Yes, it's beautiful to look at. You think of creation. You think of with the internet today and things, we can look at pictures all around the world if we don't get to travel. We can look at waterfalls in Costa Rica, and we can go to places in Egypt. We can look all the incredible things that God made on this earth. We're like, whoa, it's so beautiful. It is. And the great differences in the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom and the trees and all the things that God made, they're glorious. And we should take care of them. And we should be good stewards of them for God's honor and glory. But we should not worship them. We should not elevate them to a point to become more important than what God has said. And you think of the agenda today of Satan, really, and all the things today where we have animals and animal rights. And we have all the things, abortion and homosexuality and we have all these kind of things. And we've got climate change, all these things where we just elevate the things that God has said. Now, let's see what the Scripture says. Creation shows God's power. It shows His majesty. God created man. When I say man, I'm using it generically. Man, woman, humanity, to worship Him, to serve Him, to know Him. And I want to say this, to have a relationship with Him. He created them to have fellowship with Him. Absolutely. All right, let's go to chapter number 2 here. We're going to move to our second one. We'll wrap it up today. We'll continue next week. Let's look number 2 at marriage. I want to finish with marriage this morning. So number 1, we looked at creation. God's power and majesty in the creation. Wow. Even in this small auditorium, not one person looks alike. All we can say, you must be that family. You've got the family nose. All right, you've got the family look. You're okay. You've got the family height or lack thereof. All right, sure, we have some of that in our DNA, but not one person in here is identical to anybody. Even identical twins are not identical, all right, much less our personality, our thinking. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made by God for a particular purpose, and God took great delight in fashioning each one of us, and we are designed to fellowship with our Creator and to know Him. Remember that. We are to know God and to make Him known, and we can know Him. After all, there is possible to have had a God who made everything and us not know Him, right? Right? Absolutely. There are people in this world today that do not know God. I mean, unless God would make Himself known, there would be no way to know Him. Oh, I know, you can walk around and say, I don't know if there's a God, but well, somebody must have made all this. You're right. But you would not be able to have a personal relationship with Him unless He chose to. Unless He revealed Himself to you. And if He revealed Himself to you, it would just be one person at a time. Unless He revealed Himself through something else for everybody to let you know that I love you. I made you. You can know Me. I so loved the world I sent My only Son. I created a place called heaven for you to come with Me. I'm not willing that any should perish. God has revealed Himself to us. Yes, through creation. Yes, through His Son. Really, through Himself. But even then, you say, well, I wasn't there back then when He was on earth. I wasn't there. You're right. Right, here's how He's revealed Himself to every person. The Word of God. God's love letter to mankind. Yes, we're sinners, but God doesn't want to leave us there. Yes, we could have easily just said, God said, forget mankind. They sinned, they messed up. Too bad. But God, not willing that any should perish and go to a devil's hell, sent His Son so that we can have a personal relationship with Him. Chapter number 2, though, it's interesting as we move along here a little bit. Look at verse number 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. And we won't get very far this morning, but we'll at least plant the seeds for next week. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put the man whom He had formed. Now remember, the woman has not yet been created. We're still on day 6. The woman has not been created yet. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Notice, God has given man authority. God has given man an occupation. God has given man a responsibility. Now God's going to give him instruction, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, woman's not here yet, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God gives Adam instruction. He gives him responsibility. He gives him law and precepts. And yet Adam still is by himself. And God is doing all this for a purpose. So look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good. The only thing God said not good. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Now, God says that, but then we get a little more information because that's how God does things. So verse 19. What comes before Eve? God has something He's doing. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see, isn't that interesting, to see what He would call them. He's going to bring them to Adam. And Adam, whatever you call them, that's what they're going to be. And it says at the end of the verse, and whatsoever I called every living creature, that was the name thereof. I have no way of knowing today if the exact names He named are still with us today. cow, pig, cat. I mean, surely he could do more than three letters, all right? Maybe not, all right? I don't know. Maybe they're the same names. I don't think he had to name every single animal of the species of its kind. Very likely, a lot of those animals no longer exist. A lot of them are still here. Adam was pure intelligence, no sin. Wow, he named the animals. God let him do that. And no doubt, God had a purpose for this, right? Every animal as they came, there was male and female. Male and female, male and female, male and female. He named them. They left male and female. He finished it. The Bible says what? Verse 20. Adam gave names to all cattle and to all the fowl and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now let's give Adam credit. He was absolutely brilliant. No sin, exactly as God created. It didn't take him long to realize, no, wait a minute, I'm the only one. Everything else here living has a opposite companion, a female. I don't. And God brings him that realization in verse 21. We'll wrap it up here, 21 to 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Some have said first surgery, first anesthesia right here. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and stub thereof. All right, first recovery unit. It's quick and fast. Puts him to sleep, opens him up, takes out the rib, seals it back up. Now, why would God do this? Verse 22, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Would you like to have been there for that? Adam spent all day naming animals. Every one of them, male, female, male, female, male, female, male, female, male, female. He's the only one. God, supernatural sleep, does a little bit of side surgery, takes the rib, forms the woman. And then as he's waking up out of his slumber, he brings the woman to him. Now, many of you know the old joke here. What did Adam say? Did he say, wow? Or did he say, whoa, man? Whoa, man, whoa, man, woman. You know, people joke about that. That's what he did. He said, wow, whoa, what did you do, God? This is great. I mean, he said that, right? Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. Obviously, God had to let him know that. And flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. He's not named, by the way, till the next chapter. So, whoa, there she is. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There's no sin, there's no guilt, there's no knowledge. So there they are, perfect environments, perfect. God has finished on the sixth day. Adam has a helpmeet, a companion. That word helpmeet means mate, companion, aid, helper. Wonderful. God creates marriage. Here we have the first marriage. We call it the family, the home. The very first thing that God instituted. Not the church, no church for 4,000 years. Not even the government. Going to be almost 2,000 years till he institutes that after the flood. The home, the family, marriage, God instituted. It's the backbone of society. It's the foundation of all that is. And by the way, let's notice God's definition as we wrap it up. What is marriage? Now, you could ask a lot of people that today. God's definition of marriage, one man, one woman, one lifetime. One man, one woman, one lifetime until death do us part. Marriage is a covenant relationship. It's a permanent relationship, children or not. Doesn't mean they're not always your children, but they're going to notice, leave, not always practice, leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife. That's establishing a brand new unit, a family home, a family unit. Absolutely. And the two become one. By the way, we're going to hit on this probably sometime in this next month or so in this series. We're going to take a look at what a biblical marriage is and a biblical marriage ceremony. Because who invented marriage? God. I don't really like the word use invent there, but who created? God did. God's the one who created marriage. Everything about a marriage should be based on the Bible and God. And there's a lot of marriages today that aren't based anyway on that, all right? Again, we've tried to, the world likes to steal those things. We talk about the rainbow, all right, in Sunday school. The world likes to try to take those things, all right? Yeah, marriage, no, marriage is God's design. God made it, God created it, God designed it, and he's the only authority in what it can be. It doesn't really matter what people say it is, all right? And by the way, that is our sin nature as we finish. Our sin nature says, no, we'll do what we want to do. We'll see that in the next chapter, right? Ye shall be as gods What? Now look, if you and I were gods, what does that mean? God does whatever I want to do. Said, Eve, you don't get to eat of that. No, you eat of that tree, you'll be as gods. God means I run my life, and that's what we like to do today. No, marriage is what I want it to be. No, gender's what I want it to be. That's what we. No. God says this is what it is. No. Anybody can pastor and preach. No, God says no. It's for a man. God says, and we think of all the things that God says, I've created it, I designed it, this is the way it is, and mankind, we show our sin nature by pushing and saying, no, we think it's this, it's whatever we want it to be. And that's the original sin, the original lie of the devil. You can be your own God. You can set the rules. You can do everything you want to do. You control everything, and we're going to see very quickly that perfect marriage, perfect environment didn't last very long as man sinned. I'll finish with Genesis 5 and we're done. Did you ever? A lot of times we don't read Genesis 5. We look at it and we say, well, it's a little genealogy. It's all these people here. Not that important. But I referenced verses 1 and 2 again. 1 and 2, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God, notice, he wants you to know, he created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. But notice this next one. And blessed them. There's a special blessing on marriage. And called their name Adam. Interesting. He called their name Adam. Two become one. All right? By the way, the reason, the long-held tradition of a woman taking the husband's last name is not just, it's because it's biblical. That was, I mean, I know today we like to, these are just long-standing traditions that we need to break. No, they're from the Bible. God's saying there's two different people and you're becoming one and you're now one unit, not two different people. Not like, you know, I do my thing, you do your thing, we do my name, your name, my stuff, your stuff. No. It's the miracle of marriage. It's the challenge of marriage. It's the picture of Christ in the church. Marriage has a lot in it. Their name, God says, I'm calling you Adam. Now, in today's world, the lady would say, you know, we've been hijacked by women feminists and all these movement that we see out there. All right, whoa, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Well, we're going to look at that and see when God sets up authority and sets up the home and headship and all of those things that we struggle with today. God designed marriage. It's God's design. It's God's great delight. And we're going to see next week, we're not going to get to today, what Jesus said about that. 4,000 years later, when he was asked the question about marriage and divorce, what did Jesus do? He went the whole way back to Genesis 1 and 2. I said, don't you know what it says in the beginning? God created them male and female. Don't you understand what marriage and the home is? He believed in that, all right? And let's not forget Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all things. And the bed, undefiled. Now look, that's what God said. God said marriage is a grand, glorious, wonderful, honorable, tremendous thing. I created it. And the bed, speaking of the physical act of sexual relationship in marriage, is good, it's pure, it's proper, it's right. I designed it. But then the second part of that verse says, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's pretty harsh language. That's how holy marriage is. And God says that I designed marriage, and I designed the act of marriage to be done only in a proper biblical marriage. And anything outside of that, whoa, comes under the wrath and judgment of God. And God means business. Whoremongers and adulterers, those that defile that, I will judge. Now that's precious. That's what God designed. That is the foundation of all society. That is the foundation of every home and family, a biblical marriage. And God takes that very, very preciously. Well, we looked at creation. We got to marriage. We didn't quite get to sin. We'll pick up on that another week. Because you say, well, I don't know. We live in a sin-cursed world. Why do we struggle? Why the children? Is it hard to raise the children? Why husbands and wives all the time? Why does divorce happen? Why does death happen? Why do we have stress in life and jobs and money and finances? Genesis 3. Sin. Sin came in the world. The woman was deceived, but Adam knew exactly what he was doing. And everything, we would say, has gone downhill since. But God had a plan. And God has a plan. And we sang about that, and we celebrated the Lord's Supper because it was finished at the cross. And in Genesis 3, God's going to institute that plan. From the seed of a woman is going to come someone one day, the Redeemer. who will reverse the curse of sin, conquer Satan, and give you an opportunity to have a personal relationship with God and be in heaven with him. And he's going to show us exactly how that's done when he kills the first lambs and makes coats of skins. A blood sacrifice from something innocent must be shed. I hope all that ties together. I didn't quite get to everything this morning. I maybe left it a little bit open there at the end. But if you're here today and you're married, I hope that you praise God for that. I hope you do everything you can to make that a marriage made in heaven, as God is your help with the scriptures. If you're not married, it may be that you're not, or you were previously, or circumstances of divorce, or death of a spouse, or you're young and you're looking forward to that. Make sure that we promote that and honor that, not let the world just run that down. You know, every joke about marriage, it's always awful, and every sitcom, is marriage is terrible, and you have to keep everything deceived and lie to your husband and wife, and it's never good. Think about all the sitcoms, even the ones we like, I Love Lucy, and I mean, they're, you know, it's constantly, they're just lying and deceiving and making fun, and even those ones that we would say are pretty fun and good to be around, they have the slant of the world. God has loves it, God's creation. Let's be bold in standing for the Word of God. Let's be bold in standing for the biblical account of creation. Let's be bold in standing for the biblical account of marriage and home and the family. Let's not shy away. Let's not be coward. Let's not the world, which is always on the offensive, take everything. That ought to be the believers. Whether it's the rainbow we're going to see after the flood, or whether it's the marriage or whatever it may be, let's stand firm on those things. And if we get persecuted, we get persecuted. All right? Take a stand on the Word of God. Take a stand on the Word of God with His help and His glory. Let us stand for the truth. And if you know folks around here who are struggling in their marriage and home, point them to the answers. If you know someone that doesn't know Christ, point them to the answers. If you're here today and you don't know God and you don't know Christ and you don't even maybe believe what we just read, that's okay. Get out the Bible. Begin to read. Say, God, reveal yourself to me. I don't know what that guy said is true. I've always heard that Genesis is a fairy tale and it's a fable. That's a ridiculous. Who could even believe that? God's not offended when you say that. He's heard that many, many times. Open the Bible, say, God, speak to me, reveal this to me, Lord. I want to know the truth. If you can be known, please reveal yourself because I want to know you. And again, if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me encourage you when you come through the line, please see my wife and I. Don't be embarrassed. Jot a little note on a piece of paper if you're embarrassed. Give us your phone number. We'd be happy to not embarrass you, to visit with you, to talk with you. There's plenty of folks in here that know Christ that could share with you the good news of the gospel and how their life was transformed through Jesus Christ. And may we be a living, breathing example of a Christian, of a godly home and a godly marriage. May we do it God's way. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, I know it's been a quick service, Lord. We wanted to spend time focusing on the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. I pray we would not forget that, Lord. I pray that wouldn't just be something we do it once a month. Lord, I pray that would be a special occasion. I pray that we'd never forget your great sacrifice on the cross. I pray we'd never forget, Lord, your shed blood. The fact that you were an innocent lamb and you took our place and took the wrath of God poured upon you. Lord, thank you for giving your life freely and thank you for resurrecting in your own power. Thank you that you live again and you're preparing a place for us. Lord, you love us. You're preparing a place for all of your children that we can live forever with you. And Lord, we'll no longer deal with sin and death and all the sorrows that this world has and all the messed up world. We're going to be able to be with you for all of eternity. Now, Lord, may we not keep that good news to ourselves. Lord, if there be any here today that would say, you know what, preacher, I don't know about that stuff. I don't know God. I just sort of think we die. And I've heard a lot of things. I don't know if I believe all that stuff. It sounds like fantasy. It sounds like fairy tales. I can't believe anybody believed that there's a God. And he spoke everything in existence, created it, male and female and married. I don't know about all that stuff. That's not what the world tells me. But, Lord, we know that there's an attack on the Word of God. There always has been. There always will be. Lord, we know that the Bible gives the answers. And Lord, I pray that these folks, these that know you, would stand on the Word of God, would love the Word of God, would defend the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that our homes and our marriages and our children would be a glorious picture of what a Christian home and family should be. Lord, if there's those that are suffering from, Lord, maybe not a Christian home or not a Christian environment or maybe not know you, and Lord, they've messed up. Lord, I pray they just go back to you and your Word, get things right with you, and start today to try to get those things biblically based. Lord, we love you. Help us to be careful of the things of the world we allow into our hearts and minds. May we be occupied with you, Lord, and may we know you personally. Lord, give us a great afternoon. Watch over folks as they drive. I pray they have a great time as they eat lunch and fellowship with family and friends. And Lord, bring us back tonight, eager to fellowship, to see one another, to serve you, and to hear our brother, our missionary, David Bennett, open the Word of God. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to...